Welcome, everybody. As Pam mentioned, we've arrived. We've been singing songs of pilgrimage for 8 weeks. My name is Jessica Hilton. I am a wife of 16 years, a mother of 11 years. Been attending Grace Church for about 9 years. Been pilgrimaging, is that a word? With the Lord for 19 years. Praise God. But we're all pilgrims, right? We're just passing through, never quite at home. Just always working on completing the work that God has given each one of us to do before we enter into our heavenly home. Pilgrimage is rarely easy, right? It can be long and lonely, filled with trials and setbacks, and we need encouragement along the way, songs to lift us up and remind us who we belong to and where we're headed, to assure us that there is hope, that this faith that we cling to will one day be made sight. And that's what Psalms 120 through 133 have been for us. And now we reach Psalm 134, which is like the exclamation point. It's the destination, and it's a final benediction that encapsulates all we've learned and all we've sung along the way. When I first read through this psalm, knowing I was going to have to teach on it, and I saw how short it was, I thought, oh boy, I got to fill an hour with that. But I have to tell you, the Lord has taken me to the depths and to the heights with these three short verses. I have wept. I have rejoiced as God has used these words to remind me just how very much I need him and what a very good father he is to me. So I'm just praying that the Lord will give all of you the same blessing here tonight as we go through it. Let's pray. Father God, we're here and we need you here with us right now. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and move in our hearts. I acknowledge that I could deliver the perfect lesson full of wisdom and insight. And yet, unless your Spirit speaks, it's all meaningless. So please speak to us tonight, Father. We come before you expectantly. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear all the wonderful blessings that you have prepared for us. And give us soft hearts so that we're ready to receive you. Amen. Let's just start by reading Psalm 134 together. I'm going to read from the New King James Version, and that's what's printed on your sheet if you grabbed one. So let's read it together. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord, who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. I'm calling this lesson a threefold blessing. If you look at verse 1, it says, bless the Lord. And then again in verse 2, bless the Lord. And then in verse 3, it turns around and it says, the Lord bless you. Three blessings. Our time together tonight is going to be a little bit different than in past weeks. We're going to use this threefold blessing as a guide, discussing each one and then pausing for prayer and reflection before going on to the next one. Let's start with this word bless. The word that is translated bless is the same in all three verses, and it comes from the Hebrew verb barak. I listened to that on the BibleStudyTools.com several times so I could pronounce it correctly. When this word is used directionally from man towards God, like in the first two verses, it means to get on your knees in worship before him. It literally has this connotation of kneeling, as well as to offer him your praise and your adoration. And then when it's used the other direction, from God towards man, like in verse 3. And again, it's the exact same verb. But when it's the direction of God towards man, that's the bestowing of God's favor and benefits on the recipient in accordance with his mercy and his grace. So the psalm begins with two commands to us, God's servants, to bless the Lord. And it ends with a request that God would bless us. Let's just pause there and ask the question, how often is this the order that we follow in our own prayer lives? We often begin our prayers with requests for God to pour his blessings on us, right? And then when we receive those blessings, we feel ready to bless him in return with our praise and our adoration. This is how it goes, right? God, bless me, help me, heal me, fix things for me, right? And then I look around and I see that, yes, he has done some wonderful work, and I say, bless the Lord, I praise you and I love you because you've done these wonderful things for me. And I should say that. But maybe I prayed that prayer for help and nothing changed. Maybe I've prayed that prayer 100 times or 1,000 times and nothing has changed. What then? Is God still worthy to be praised? Do we still offer him our blessings of adoration? I believe the psalmist here has given us a prescription for our spiritual life, which, if we follow it with sincere hearts, will plant us in the path of God's blessings and enable us to receive with joy every good that he has prepared for us. And as a loving and generous father, he longs to give those blessings even more than we long to receive them. It all begins with the first blessing in verse 1. Bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord. And this is referring to the priests and Levites who ministered in the temple at night, because the offerings were to be kept continually burning before the altar of God 24/7. It could never go out. But I believe this applies equally to us today. Those of us who have called on the name of Jesus to be our Savior, he has redeemed us from our sin, and he is the one who continually intercedes on our behalf before God. He made us his servants, kings and priests in his household. We stand in his presence even now, but like the psalm, it is night, right? It's dark. There's evil all around us in the world and inside of us as we continue to battle our old sinful self. We can't see God. We can't see heaven. We often can't see and don't understand the work that God is trying to do in our lives. We trust by faith in these things, but we can't see them with our eyes. The night season can be lonely and hard as we wait for the day to come. So how do we cope with the darkness? How do we remain steadfast in obedience to the Lord now and unwavering in our hope of heaven? First, let me offer two ways that do not work. One way, one wrong way of coping with the darkness is to surrender to despair and get angry at God and accuse him of being uncaring. On the other side of the spectrum, another wrong way is to deny the darkness by acting as if everything is fine and just live for the happiness that this world offers, because that's easier. Both of these are me-centered responses to the darkness that create idols out of self and deny the true character of God as both sovereign and loving. If we wish to remain steadfast in the night seasons, we must not believe the lie that God is uncaring or uninvolved. And we must also not believe the lie that what I can see with my eyes is all there is, because there's so much more. No, the path to experiencing blessing from God here and now in the middle of the darkness begins when I bless God by kneeling in worship before him. And this is the meaning of bless in verse 1. This must always be our starting place in our relationship with the Lord, a kneeling posture. And what is the significance of a kneeling posture? Why get on your knees? Well, it's a physical expression that acknowledges a spiritual reality, namely that without God, I'm helpless, I'm hopeless, I'm powerless. Without Him, my life has no meaning. I'm a beggar. I have nothing, and I can produce nothing on my own. I deserve nothing except punishment because of my sin. And my welfare lies completely in the hands of another. I'm acknowledging all of this to be true when I kneel before Him. It is the posture of surrender. Are you emotionally beaten down and exhausted? Maybe you just feel dead inside. You've retreated behind a nice strong wall around your heart so that you don't have to hurt anymore, and now you don't feel anything. I've been there. But as your friend and sister in Christ, can I just tell you right now that if you're clinging to someone or something other than Jesus to get you through each day, it's time to let go, because that doesn't work. Lay down your sins, your burdens, your self-striving. Cast it all at the foot of the cross and kneel before the one who gave His life for you. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's time to surrender to Jesus. So we're going to pause now for a time of individual prayer, a time for confession and surrendering before the Lord as we give up our pride and our self-efforts and just sit quietly in His presence. You can pray right where you are, or if you'd like to kneel down and bow before Him, either up front here or right in the pew there in your row, however the Spirit leads you, let's surrender to Him now in prayer as a song plays. And we're going to have a song that's called "I Surrender."
like a rushing wind. Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a rushing wave, Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me.
Dear Heavenly Father, you created each one here, and you have a purpose and a plan for each one. I just pray that you break down the walls, Lord, that we've built up around our hearts in order to shut out the hurt. But in the process, we shut out you, God. Please break down those walls. Help us not to be afraid of you and your love. Come to us, Lord. Help us to see what a loving Father you are, and I know you, in my own life, you just so gently and patiently take me by the hand and lead me to your side. And it turns out that was the place I longed to be the whole time, and I didn't even know it. I pray you do that for each woman here tonight, Lord, each lady who is so precious to you. And only you know their burdens and their hurts, and what they're clinging to and what they're putting their hope in outside of you, when really you are what we all need, God. Please just break through those barriers and help us to surrender any parts of our lives and our hearts and our minds that we've built a wall around, God. You are loving, you are able, you are powerful, and you are gentle. We praise you, God, and we bless you. Amen. Amen. Wow. And now we come to the second blessing. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Verse 2. This is the blessing of praise and adoration that overflows out of a surrendered heart. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Psalm 30, verse 11, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. There is an incredible sense of freedom and relief that washes over us when we stop trying to do things our way and surrender to God's way. Because when we do that, I'm now responsible to obey what he tells me to do, but I'm no longer responsible for the results. That's in his hands, and that's freeing. I'm responsible to obey, but the power to obey and the means to obey, I no longer have to manufacture on my own, as I'm just trying to be good enough and do everything myself, right? Because he supplies me with everything that I need out of his abundance. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, and that comes through knowing Jesus. There's no more pressure on me to do and to be everything that the world tells me I need to do and to be, and it's a lot, because Jesus is already everything. He is salvation, and he is life. He is hope and joy and peace. He is wisdom. He is justice. He's beauty. And he is love. Understand, it's not just that he gives us all of those things, it's that he himself is all of those things. He is everything. And notice that to this point in my prayers, maybe none of the circumstances around me have changed. But as I surrender each part of myself to him, I am changing. My emptiness is being filled with his fullness. He changes me from the inside out as I begin to fix my gaze and fill my thoughts with his perfections, not my own failures. And so, in verse 2, we see another physical posture, that of lifting my hands as I praise him. What is the significance of lifting hands? It's how I acknowledge that he is high and holy and worthy to be praised. It's an expression of my longing to be nearer to him so that I may know him better and worship him even more. And it's a public testimony that my God is more than enough for me. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. So we're going to pause again and take a few minutes to fix our gaze on the beauty of our Savior as another song plays. And please, again, feel free to sit or stand or sing or pray, fold your hands or lift them high, however the Spirit leads you.
You have no rival. You have no ease.
song gets me every time. Jesus, you are just so incredibly beautiful. As we go from here, Lord, into our daily lives, and we get stuck in all the muck and the discouragements and the busyness, God, please put your hand under our chin and lift our gaze up to you, Lord. Let us not forget you are here and you are present, and you have all the beauty and all the peace and all the power that we could ever need for any situation. Please, God, just keep our gazes fixed on you. Help us to do that as we continue studying your word tonight, Lord. Amen. Man, I think I listened to that song like 50 times this week and it's still making me cry. He's so beautiful. So we've submitted to the first blessing, that of surrendering our hearts to our Lord God. We've exalted his wonderful name with the second blessing, that of lifting our hands in praise and adoration to him and acknowledging that he is the only one worthy of it. Now, and only now, are we prepared for the third blessing. This is a blessing that we receive from him, and we're ready to receive it with humble and grateful hearts. Just to start off, what are God's blessings? Well, they're innumerable, right? They can be large or small. They can be temporary or eternal. They can be material or immaterial. Why don't you take a moment and just mention a few to somebody near you? Blessings from God that you have received and enjoyed in your own life. And I'll start. Off the top of my head, I thought of the fact that I have a family who loves me, a Savior who forgives me, and lots of sunshine this summer, which just makes me feel really happy. So go ahead and share with a neighbor a few of yours. Okay, that's awesome. I wish I could hear what you all shared. They're all wonderful, and he is worthy of praise, right? I believe that the blessing of verse 3 is much deeper and wider and higher and richer than any one single thing we could name. It is the blessing that covers our sinful past. It's the blessing that preserves us safe and secure through all the troubles of the present. And it's a blessing that prepares us for a glorious future. It is the blessing of God himself here with us. He offers himself to us freely and without measure. And he invites us to be part of a personal, intimate relationship of love with the one who is everything for us. He is our Father, our Savior, our Shepherd, and our King. God himself is the blessing. We're going to think through the implications of this by considering these four aspects of his character. First, let's think about God as our Father. The verse says, "The Lord who made heaven and earth bless you." He is the creator of all things. He planned you, and he gave you life. The word Lord here is the proper name of God as he ascribed to himself, Yahweh, also pronounced sometimes Jehovah. His name means the I am that I am, that is, the self-existent and eternal one. the covenant-keeping God who is faithful to fulfill all of his promises to his people. If he is self-existent, that means he's complete within himself. He's dependent on no one, and he needs nothing. He's the creator of everything that exists. All good things find their source in him, and everything I need, I can find in him. I don't need to look anywhere else. Plus, he loves me unconditionally. So if this is who my Father is, then I am secure and I am provided for. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Our Father gives us only the very best gifts, and his Holy Spirit is the gift of his continual presence here with us. Next, let's consider God as our Savior. He is our Savior. Again, the verse says, "The Lord who made heaven and earth bless you from Zion." This is important. The blessing originates out of Zion. I just love this part. Zion, or Mount Zion in Jerusalem, was the site of many important events in the Bible. Off the top of your head, what do you picture when you hear the word Zion? Let me give you just a few scenes from that place. Let's picture a mountain. An old man, Abraham, with arm raised, ready to slay his son, his beloved son. But right at the last moment, God intervenes and provides an alternate sacrifice. Let's picture Jacob, the manipulator, running from home. He's the one who always tries to control everything to his own benefit. I'm sure you don't know anybody like that. And he, of all people, receives a vision from God of a stairway. It's a pathway to heaven that would be given as a free gift and not achieved by human effort. Let's picture God's angel of judgment. This one maybe isn't as well known. Standing on this mountain with sword drawn, ready to destroy Jerusalem and everyone in it because of King David's sin in ordering a census. But David intercedes for his people with a sacrifice that satisfies God's wrath. Lastly, let's picture a cross. And this time it's God's beloved Son hanging there, willingly taking the punishment that we deserved. And this is Zion. It's the place where God provides for our deepest needs. Because Jesus Christ washed away our sins with his own blood. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our past sins have no power because they were nailed to the cross at Zion. And this is where your blessing originates. Let me figure out. This antenna always gets me. Okay. The blessing originates at Zion. Our sins do not dictate our standing before God. We are chosen and accepted and provided for and loved because of Zion. God's blessing in Jesus Christ covers our past, and he redeems our past mistakes for his glory and for our joy. Thirdly, let's look to Jesus as our true shepherd. He is our shepherd. This blessing of God himself given to us through Jesus Christ also preserves us through all of the troubles of the present. Will you say Psalm 23 with me? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Awesome. He is our good shepherd who guides us and cares for us all the days of our lives, until that day when he will deliver us safely home to heaven. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And finally, let's consider God as our king. God gives himself to us as our king, and this blessing ensures our place in a glorious kingdom that will go on without end. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. He will be a glorious king, and incredibly, we will reign with him. Eventually, he will put away sorrow, sin, and death, and we will begin an infinity of days in which we experience perfect peace. Can you imagine even one day where you know nothing but perfect peace? There will be peace, joy, contentment, fulfillment, and purpose. And we have an infinity of those days ahead of us. The Holy Spirit, in his goodness, is preparing us for this future even now. Even now, God is on his throne, and every happiness and every hardship must first pass through his loving hands before he sends it into your life. He only allows that which leads to your greatest eternal good to touch you. So count it all joy, my sisters, when you face trials of various kinds. With our sights fixed firmly on the hope of heaven, knowing God is on his throne and Satan can never thwart him, we can abandon anxiety and fear and live each day confidently in God's purpose and his plan and claim the victory that Jesus Christ has won for us at the cross. So to conclude everything we've talked about, the next time we go to the Lord in prayer, let's remember to first give him the blessing of our surrender and our submission as we kneel and worship before him. Let's lift our hands as we bless him with praise and adoration. And then let's receive with humble and grateful hearts the greatest blessing we could ever be given, which is the gift of God himself with us through Jesus Christ, according to his mercy and his grace. Is he enough? He's given us himself as our Father, our Savior, our Shepherd, and our King. And these are incredible riches. Dare we ask for anything more? But yes, he invites us to ask. Isn't that amazing? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Ask him. But in the asking, let's remember all that we already possess in him and be blessed. The Lord, who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. And this closes our journey through the Psalms of Ascent. We, I believe, are going to be transitioning to the topic of prayer for our Wednesday night gatherings. So the study isn't over. Continue joining us here in the Worship Center for the month of August. Everyone should have hopefully picked up a blank note card when you came in. If you do not have one of those, can you raise your hand? We'll get one to you now. Thanks, Elizabeth. The women's ministry leaders and the speakers from this summer study would just really like to pray for you. So if you could write down how we can pray on that card, just take a moment to think about what is your greatest spiritual need at this moment? How is your relationship with the Lord, really? Do you have a struggle or a discouragement that's weighing you down, keeping you from the abundant life in Christ that you do want? Whatever you'd like to share with us, please write it on the card, and we are committing ourselves to praying for you. You can write your name, or you can leave it anonymous if you're more comfortable with that. And it will be our privilege to bring those needs before the Lord. Or maybe you don't know Jesus in the personal, intimate way that you've been hearing about here on Wednesday nights. And maybe you'd like to talk to somebody about how you can. If that's the case, would you please just indicate that on your card and maybe put your name and phone number or email address, and we would love to get in touch with you. While you're working on the cards, I think Pam is going to come up and tell us a little more about what's coming in the few weeks. When she's done, go ahead and just gather in small groups for prayer before you leave, please, if you would. Just to share our burdens with one another and bless each other that way. And then on your way out, there's a little basket on the table in the back where you can drop those note cards. So, thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. That was truly a blessing. I noticed on the back side of your sheet you had some summary thing. Is that something that people can do kind of on their own? I think we can go to 8:15. So yeah, we might do that. Actually, as much as she shared truth with us tonight, she may have just lied that I cannot tell you much more about what we're going to do on Wednesday nights. But the next three Wednesday nights are going to be devoted to prayer. Stephanie Campbell is going to lead us. I think in how to go deeper in prayer, and I don't see her here. I was hoping she'd be here and then she could plug her own study, but I think it's going to be something that'd be really great. I mean, as we've talked about, we want to draw closer to the Lord, and we do that through prayer, and anything that we can do to learn more about going deeper there would be good. So I hope that we'll see you guys. We'll still meet right here each Wednesday evening starting at 7 o'clock, so, and she'll kick that off next week for us, so. And then, so Jessica, if you want to kind of share with maybe people on how to use the backside of that.
Yes, yeah. So there are a series of verses, one verse out of each psalm that we've studied, and then a question. What particular blessings from the Lord did the psalmist either long for or experience? So go ahead and look up those verses. There's so many blessings in each one of the psalms, and if you want a nice review of the whole summer study, just take some time to scan through each psalm and find all the blessings you can. It's really encouraging. But you probably don't have time to get through all of them, but just get through as many as you'd like to as a group.